Howdy, everybody, and welcome to the September 9th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. It's September!
And since it is coming upon the fall, and I've noticed it lately a lot here locally, it's getting a little cooler. Getting to be my type of weather.
Thank God. Well, these days, we need to explain to everybody the traditions that we have for this time of year, though, because I always enjoy it when fall comes around. I don't like the summer that much.
It's that special time of year where we kidnap a school child and
we like to torture in a basement and shove candy corn into the wounds.
Yeah.
But much more than that.
Your specialty is putting a little firecracker in their dick hole.
That's
what
I'm lighting it. I put a bottle rocket in their dick hole.
That's sort of your thing.
And shoot it out like, But it's that time of year when we all start watching horror films, really. Like, as if we didn't watch that all the year. But this is more so when we start getting into them.
And that's why. And there's a lot more of stuff coming out. And we'll be talking about the stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of Blu-ray and DVD releases actually coming out soon. There's not shit coming out in the theater, but there's a lot of.
Well, all that stuff already came out, kind of. I mean, I don't know if. I'm guessing in October there's probably, like, I know Paranormal Activity 3 and 3D or whatever's coming out. And what else? This is the first year there's not going to be a Saw movie.
Yeah, that's what everybody was waiting on.
Yeah. Is Zombieland coming out around that time?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But, yeah, that's kind of partly the reason why, other than the fact we couldn't think of anything else, that we're also doing a horror film review for 1994. Yeah.
Because we wanted to challenge folks. At least I did. Because we've talked about some of the better years for us that we remember. I know 96 was one year that horror really came back. We talked about that. 2004 was one that we talked about. We talked about 1981, 1980, something like that.
Did we do 85?
I don't think we've done 85.
We never did 85? That show would be like 5 hours long. There's so much killer stuff that came out later.
But there's plenty of years and shit that we... a lot of folks from the Classic Horror Film Board want us to do 1922. But
that was a big year for them.
Yeah, I think we should get one of those people on there to help us with that if we're going to do 1922, the year in horror.
Man, don't even get me started on that shit again.
It's always fun, though.
That's a whole, like, conversation. Yeah. I'm just glad that all
and there's horror nerds everywhere that's holding up the little bald guy on a stand. I'm so proud. It's raining out there, Uncle Bill. I hear it raining.
It is, yeah. But luckily, we don't give a shit about any of them. We just give a shit about ourselves.
I really do give a shit. I cry myself to sleep every night because I don't have one of those awards.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I cry myself to sleep because I know the people over at that CHFB 9 or 12.
It hurts my feelings.
Message board think that we suck, and that really bothers
me. It does hurt my feelings because I want everybody to like me, and everybody knows that if you listen to the show over the span of the last 5.5 years or so, we do nothing but try to get people to like us.
We do. We got a lot in common with them, too. We like mashed potatoes, and that's primarily what they eat now.
Mm-hmm.
Applesauce. I like applesauce. I'm fine with that.
And you're buying a lot of diapers now.
I buy a lot of diapers, which they're using quite a bit of. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, really.
Yeah. So we have nothing but mad respect for the folks over at the Classic Horror Film Board. In addition to that, though, we do have Blu-ray discs we're going to review. One that we've had for a long while but never got around to looking at and reviewing is the third chapter in the Children of the Corn series, the never-ending Children of the Corn series, because we were just looking at like Walmart last week and the new one is out called like Genesis or something like that.
Yeah, Children of the Corn Genesis.
And it stars Phil Collins.
It does, and Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. This is Children of the Corn 3, The Urban Harvest.
Oh, no. They're coming to the city.
They're going in the city. Ha, ha. Little fucking kid named his name Eli.
God. Okay, also, though, this is a little-known film that just recently came out under the Hammer title, which...
Stop! Hammer time!
They're getting ready to start releasing a few more films, I think. This is Wakewood. I'm going to be reviewing this. I think this was actually...
You know, it's got the bucktooth motherfucker that was in Rockstar in it, too.
Yeah, this movie was featured in a magazine, too. I don't remember if it was Rumorg or...
it was probably Rumorg, because Rumorg really, like, they masturbate to the English horror stuff.
They really do.
They're like, oh, my God, it's another whole mother from England.
Somebody's got an accent. I got to go jig off.
You know why that is, too.
Because they're... pompous.
Well, that and feedback. He's from England.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I thought he was Scottish, but
he is originally from Scotland.
He's Liverpudlian.
Yeah.
So he's like, fucking Lakewood.
He likes all the horror blokes.
I'm sure he just loves getting shit like this. Oi! Anyway, in the Lakewood, it's a hammer release. It took place in Britain.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reviewing that, though, because I heard a lot of good things about it, and I was pleasantly surprised by it, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Yay.
Something else that I'll be pleasantly surprised to see in the theater. Well, not really. I don't know. Friday the 13th, Part 2, the remake of the original. Last few days, there have been rumblings around Hollywood about the beloved horror icon adapting the found footage treatment. Recently the big thing, you know, Paranormal Activity and Apollo 18 or whatever. The new Friday the 13th is one of the films that is, they're thinking about doing the Blair Witch thing, I guess, too, is more commonly is what I would call it. The sequel penned by Damien Shannon and Mark Swift has not been given the green light yet. Brad Fuller of Platinum Dunes has assured us over here at Dead Pit, of course, we talk to Brad Fuller all the time, that, there is no movement on any sort of sequel to Dune's 2009 production, but would not confirm or deny. The company was fielding ideas from other writers, so they're, he says, there's no other place I'd rather be than Crystal Lake right now. So, looks like, you know, and I don't really understand because I'm not like a big supporter of Friday the 13th remake, but I thought, you know, compared to all the other, major franchises, it was probably the best of all those remakes around that time, especially of all the Platinum Dunes ones.
Yeah, it had to be. You think about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, and Nightmare on Elm Street especially. Like, that has to be the best one. I don't know what to think about this. I guess it's like, that's the only thing left they could do with that they haven't done with the character of Jason. They've put him in space. He's gone to hell or whatever. Like, he's fought Carrie. They fucking put him with Freddy versus Jason. It's like, the only thing that they've got left now is to do that crap with like a handheld camera.
Yeah.
Which, that's whatever, I guess, at this point.
Well, it is one thing, yeah, that I guess kind of hasn't been done with that movie. But, I mean, what is that going to be the next big thing? Like, they're going to do the new Nightmare on Elm Street like that?
Probably. That wouldn't surprise me. That would be that sounds like a really unoriginal idea that Hollywood would latch on to try to make some quick money. Because it'd be cheaper than hell to do it that way, too. You know it would.
Yeah. They could just go and get like, you know, with all the little cameras now, they could make it more modern. They could have the mini HD cameras that would be like really unsteady.
Right. Because everybody wants to see that. Yeah. They want to see movies like that where you can't really tell what the fuck's going on.
And that'll, of course, cause more and more of these quote-unquote indie filmmakers to come out with more stuff. Like, oh, here's what we can do. And they're British, too, by the way. Just for no reason. We're going to make a Hellraiser movie, but it's going to be a short, like a Blair Witch. They're going to be searching for the Cenobites.
Hey, that would be a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
After, you know, they murder an adult, and they're just carrying it around with them through the cornfields.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I thought that whole thing sort of died with the Blair Witch popularity. But, I mean,
Cloverfield.
Yeah, I mean, there's been more since then, so.
I really do wish they'd quit making those Paranormal Activity movies. I like the first one. The second one was pretty okay, too. But, like, that's just a trend. That shit needs to just kind of die out and fade away like Saw did, hopefully.
Saw isn't gone, though. I have a strong feeling that fucking shit will be back sooner than later.
It'd be fun if they just surprised us and put one out on Halloween and didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, because seriously, how many mini SD cards could Jigsaw fit in his dick hole? I mean, he's got endless amounts of games that could still be available to play, you know.
Shit. You know, they probably will do that soon, like search around in his dick hole.
They'll be like, they're like, Sheriff, we need you over here, look. And they're peeling, like, the skin off of you around his dick hole, and they see, like, a whole little packet of mini SD cards.
He's got little audio tapes and shit in there.
And then they'll put one in the computer. And then, like, Jigsaw automatically know who everybody is in the room. Yeah. So, you thought my dead body meant that the games were over? No, there's still me. Or whatever.
My dickhole says different.
My dickhole says
his
no.
His dickhole's a bomb.
He has an explosive cock ring wrapped around.
It was getting that silly, though, towards the end, really. All right. I can't even believe this is on here, but there's a movie apparently called Zombie Ass.
Yeah.
It says the most craptastic zombie movie ever to emerge from Japan cinema is finally upon us, and it's from the twisted mind of the cinematic madman and legendary ass fetishist Noboru Iguchi.
Oh, hell.
Creator of The Machine Girl, Robo Geisha, and Karate Robo Zubagor. What the fuck?
Karate Robo Zubagor.
Given free rein by a generous independent producer to plumb the depths of his toilet-obsessed imagination, Iguchi has created a splatter comedy guaranteed to warm the bowels of those with the stomach for it, while more sensitive viewers may want to plug their holes.
Violently.
Says, racked with guilt over the suicide of her sister,
Ai,
who was tormented by high school bullies, pretty young karate student Megumu accompanies a group of older friends on a trip into the woods. Smart girl Ai, her druggy boyfriend Hawk, Big Boo Malamaki, and nerdy Noi. Things start to go badly when Maki finds a parasitical worm inside of a fish they catch and wolfs it down alive in the hope that it will keep her skinny, and then zombies. The group is attacked by a crowd of poop-covered undead who emerge from an outhouse shitter and seek refuge at the home of Dr. Tanaka?
Pat Tanaka.
Mr. Tanaka. That's good. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of this plot synopsis, but...
Oh, but they talk about his daughter, Sachi.
But you get the point, I guess.
I just love the name Zombie Ass.
Yeah, only from Japan. Either what Troma or Japan.
I don't get Asian people in general.
Who does get them, though?
Like, especially, like, the fetish with shit. And there's all kinds of weird shit, like porn. I guess, like, the Asian porn industry is what's bizarre to me. Like, somebody at work was showing me this video, and I was like, why are you showing me this Asian girl getting jacked off on her face and shit? But right as
well,
the
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, really? I gotta talk to you about that later.
Yeah, right as the guy was jacking off, the girl punched him in the balls like crazy. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Just punched the shit out of his balls, and he liked it. The guy loved it. I was like, fuck, what the fuck?
I'd fucking mule kick a bitch for that.
Yeah, right as he was coming, punching him.
It's like a punch back. Speed bagging him. Oh, my God.
And then all the stuff with the baby eels.
Yeah, they stick
and
eels.
Shit, and especially, like, this is another example.
And shit, and, like, yeah. They are the weirdest, like, porn.
Like, all of the, a lot of the mainstream porn or whatever, they, like, sort of edit out the genitalia, right?
Right, yeah.
But they'll show people eating shit and shitting on, Boy, what's about
everything deviant that you've ever heard of that comes in porn has come from Japan too. Like all that bukkake shit started over there, where just like 1,000 guys coming on one girl. Like,
yeah, you're a big fan of that.
I love that. It's my favorite. Yeah. And then you got people
like eating a big jar of mayonnaise when you watch that.
Shit, yeah. Eating Miracle Whip as I'm watching. Oh.
Yeah, with a spoon.
God. Yeah, but they're sticking spoons up each other's asses and eating like.
Well, you are too.
Shit. I'm not doing anything like that.
It's the same spoon.
Oh, God.
Another upcoming horror movie that we've talked about a little bit on here is called Livid, Uncle Bill. It's from Julian Mari and Alexandra Bustillo, who did the movie Inside, which everybody ranted and raved about in, like, 2008, I think. Livid is making his debut at the Toronto International Film Festival, and the official site for that event has run an interview with the duo. they discuss the differences between Inside and Livid and say, it is true that Livid is less gory and less extreme than Inside. We wanted to change registers. It reflects another aspect of the genre that we also love, a more atmospheric cinema, more based on suggestion rather than demonstration. If we have to compare it, it is more old school, fantastical, like the Hammer movies, but we cannot change who we are. And there are still some scenes that are quite violent, Uncle Bill. So we'll have to wait and see with that. Those guys, I think they were rumored to do Rob Zombie's Halloween.
They were supposed to do Halloween 2.
The sequel, I guess, Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, and then that fell through, which is a shame considering what we got. I've noticed, though, recently, for some reason, that there are some people that really like Halloween 2. They think it's some sort of fucking, like, misunderstood classic. They must have just completely been watching an entirely different film than what
I was
watching.
It's kind of like those tribes of Indians that believe in drinking your own pee and that cleanses you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like that.
Yeah. The kind that think that you like smash somebody's head and eat their brain together, their wisdom.
Yeah.
It's the same.
It's kind of like those women that like to eat their own placenta, like Jess.
Yeah. Where you fry it up like on a George Foreman
grill. You wouldn't
eat
it, would you, when she ate it?
What? The placenta? Oh, yeah. I had some of it. Yeah. It was tasty.
Was it as good as a ribeye?
It's like frog legs, really.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this, though. Inside was I was hoping we could get Jess to watch that before she had that kid. That would have been neat.
That's what she needed to see.
I would have loved to have seen that. He even done a commentary over it, but we missed that opportunity because she wouldn't do it.
That's shameful.
Yeah.
But, let's talk about this, though, because I know you're greatly upset about this.
Okay.
Image Entertainment's Blu-ray discs.
Ooh, they are Blu-ray wove.
Apparently from several different people we have heard that there are some transfer problems as well as like some issues with the framing of all of the Blu-rays, including The Hills Have Eyes and Hellraiser Blu-rays, as well as House. I'm sorry, these are the DVDs, House and Return to Horror High.
Yeah.
A couple people in particular have told me that it's not even a Blu-ray transfer, that it's some sort of a DVD, like a high-end DVD transfer or something like that they're trying
to... It's basically upscaled DVD. I mean, I haven't watched... I got The Hills Have Eyes Blu-ray in. I haven't watched it. But I have looked at... if you go on DVDBeaver.com, that's a good name for a site, too. I always like that name.
Mm-hmm.
They do, like, probably the best reviews as far as, like... the differences between the Blu-ray and the DVD, and they show side-by-side shots. And this is the first one I can ever remember where there's literally nothing different about either one of them. The Blu-ray is only a little the picture's a little larger. It's bizarre. I mean, I don't know about Hellraiser. I think Hellraiser 2 was okay, but for some reason, and I know there's a few more that's coming out that's not out yet. Children of the Corn, I think, is another one that's coming out. There's not any reviews for it yet, I don't think. And Vamp is another one. There's a whole line of these coming out.
Now, they're not 1080, are they? There's something about that, too.
They are upscaled to 1080, but, like, they're not high def. I mean, that's what I've heard. Like, at least the Hellraiser and the Hills Have Eyes Blu-rays, which is unfortunate because, like, a lot of people... prefer the remake of Hills Have Eyes. I don't know why. I don't know what the hell's wrong with people. It's just one of those things, I guess.
I think, though, that that's one of those movies where it's a shame because they probably won't put that out again for a long time.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I just don't see it happening, really. I don't know if they... I mean, they may eventually, but it'd probably be another one of those deals where it'd be 5 or 6 years down the road if they do.
And I remember when Anchor Bay put out the fucking DVD. That set was amazing. It was like a 2-disc DVD that was...
Yeah, and I think the Blu-ray has all of the features and stuff that was on the DVD. And it's cheap enough, I mean, if you don't have the DVD or anything. But if you do have the DVD, it doesn't look like to me it's anything worth buying, you know?
That's shameful.
It is. Especially some of the stuff like Hellraiser... was already released on Blu-ray.
I didn't understand that one either. Like, why the fuck would you put out Hellraiser again? It wasn't that long ago that Anchor Bay released
it. Anchor Bay, I don't know if they're releasing any catalog shit anymore. So all that, I think all their stuff has went over to Image. that they did have the rights for.
Might as well.
And
I mean, that company's been dead for years.
Lionsgate is another one that they're doing the Evil Dead 2, the new Evil Dead 2. We talked about that last
week. Right, right.
So, I don't understand, though, like, okay, if Hellraiser was already released on Blu-ray, why wouldn't they just use the same fucking transfer that the other one, I mean, that would make sense. But evidently they, I don't know where they're getting this shit at, but yeah, it's supposed to, supposedly looks really bad.
Well, all these companies, man, it's like they just run it through something that's, it's real quick or something, because it's not in any way remastered, it's just fucking.
I gotta say though, I mean, even the, like, and we're gonna talk about these, the Echo Bridge Blu-rays, those look pretty good, I think. I think you can at least tell those are in HD. And that's a shitty fucking company. I mean, I don't want.
They give us a bunch of shit. You gonna talk?
No, but I mean, that's bargain based product right there. I mean, that's not a.
Look, I don't think it's a good idea of you to be talking about people that send us shit. How bargain based.
I'm not saying it's a. I think they do a good job with what they're given, but like, it's the company that they're. Miramax gave them a deal where, hey, you're going to release a ton of these Blu-rays all at one time. You know, they probably didn't have, they didn't afford them the opportunity to remaster any of this stuff, or they didn't have the budget to remaster any of this stuff. And it still looks pretty fucking decent, you know.
Yeah, I was really surprised by some of them, like Halloween 6 and how well they looked. And
well, I mean, I even thought that Children of the Corn looked pretty damn good. I mean, that was a low-budget movie.
I'm glad that was out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I am too. So, anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. We've got some more news stories to get to. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the horrors of 1994.
Oh,
it's gonna be interesting.
Shit.
So we'll do that after this break here on DeadPeer.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
This is Courtney Gaines, Malachi from Children of the Corn, and you're listening to DeadPit.com.
Hi. Somebody gonna get an ass whooping.
Yeah, come, baby.
So, we're back in the news portion of the programming right now. Isn't that wonderful?
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. This is what you've all been waiting on, though. I know this is what you've been sitting around waiting to hear. The Suspiria remake. Are you excited about it?
I'm so excited.
Apparently, David Gordon Green recently spoke in length about his remake of the film. He says, he speaks about how Black Swan prompted him to adjust the story. Oh, God. It did inspire me to think, he says. I want to go younger now. I want this to be about 14, 15-year-old girls rather than women who are Natalie's age. It made me not want to do what Black Swan kind of did with the psychology and thriller elements of older characters. if anything, I want to focus on the younger, more naive kinds of characters, the wide-eyed, snow-white version of the movie rather than the more sophisticated sexual version of it. Sounds like a load of shit to me,
so he wants
Dave.
To make it, he wants to make it like Fright Night.
Yeah. It's a reimagining of the original. Yeah. It's a re-envisioning.
This has been one movie, though, like they've been talking about remaking it for years, and they never
you can't
have.
Remake that movie. I'm sorry. Why? There's no way. Out of all the movies that have ever been remade, that's a movie, besides the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where that movie can never be redone. It's just a point in time that happened, that was captured, and that will never happen again. It just...
Yeah. I would say eventually the movie will come out, but it'll be very similar to fucking, the Fright Night and Nightmare on Elm Street and whatever else is
I think
out
even
recently.
Fewer people will care about that, though, because that doesn't have any at all name recognition to younger people.
True, but I mean, the fucking Sorority Row remake came out, too, so that's another one. Like, that doesn't mean it won't come out in theaters.
Yeah, I don't think they should call it Suspiria, though, because young kids today, they'll just be like, what the fuck? I don't know what that is. Let's go see.
Watch Suspiria, Mom.
Let's go see The Zookeeper, too.
The Orphanage remake. Now, the Orphanage was a movie that I really kind of liked I think it came out like 2 or 3 years ago. Amy Adams is in early discussion to star in the remake of J.A. Bayona's 2007 Spanish thriller at New Line. If she signs, Vanda will play the young woman who returns to the orphanage where she was raised to help turn the facility into a home for mentally disabled children. Her young son, Soon, stars playing with their imaginary friend and later disappears. The same mysterious child attacks her, and she struggles to uncover the truth about the orphanage's dark past. Belen Ruta starred in the original, which Guillermo del Toro produced. Del Toro and Larry Fessenden worked on the remake screenplay, and Sergio, a.k.a. Dirty Sanchez, his original script. At last report, Mark Pellington was attached to direct. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to get hurt.
It's fucking coming to get us. Bad boys.
Yeah. And he is, he said he was attached to direct, Pellington was, but he's not happy with the delays. Though he claims that the new script improves on the original. Oh, what the fuck?
I don't even remember The Orphanage that well. Like, I know, I remember the cover, and I remember when it came out, and I remember that Del Toro was connected to it somehow, wasn't he?
It was good.
I just don't remember it. I don't remember anything about it at all.
Well, I just read you the plot synopsis. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. If
you're
remake,
stupid.
I still don't care if they're
you're
remake.
Stupid.
So many of those movies like that came out, though, like Pan's Labyrinth and...
But it was also known as El Orfanato.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was an awesome movie, though. If anybody is interested, I would definitely go check that one out.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Just because you don't give a fuck doesn't mean nobody does.
Nobody
your
gives
opinion,
a fucking hey, shit about that
movie.
You better
face facts, motherfucker, because your
shut
opinion
the fuck
don't matter.
Up, talk
you
about
my
all this
ass.
Shit.
Eat my ass.
The Walking Dead, though. Let's talk about that. AMC revealed how it plans to roll out The Walking Dead during its second season. The first episode will kick off with a 90-minute premiere that is the return of the network's annual Fear Fest.
Uh-oh.
The season begins Saturday, October 16th at 9 p.m. with The Walking Dead running for 6 episodes, then breaking, and then returning in February the 12th. At 9 p.m. to play out the rest of the season.
Holy
which, by the
shit.
Way, the big controversy this year is that Frank Darabont's not.
Is that controversy?
He's not connected to it this year.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that plays out.
And nobody really seems to want to say why that is either. Like, if he quit or if he was fired or what the fuck, like, happened with that.
Yeah, they should have kept him involved because that, to me, that lended credibility to that series automatically when he was a part of it.
Yeah,
me.
I don't know what happened.
Frank Darabont's sort of a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal, yeah.
Something else I wanted to mention on here, just because he posted on Facebook yesterday, Facebook page. We are on the new Scarefest poster, Uncle Bill?
I tried to look at it the other day, but I couldn't ever get it to freaking enlarge or anything, so I'm just going to take your word for it that we are indeed.
We are. We're
there.
Tagged on it. You couldn't get it enlarged?
Mm. Mm. I have that problem.
I never have that problem.
I'll bet you don't. You watch a lot of gay porn.
Oh, shut up. But also, we need to let everybody know that we confirmed it this week. I had my contract signed for a while. You signed yours this week to appear at Scarefest this year.
I signed on the dotted line. I'm going to be taking you on in a cage match at Scarefest.
Ooh. It's time to turn this table over and beat the shit out of you.
It's going to be a hell in a cell in the Scarefest multi-arena.
So, I guess the deal is Saturday, the biggest day of the show, all the members of Dead Pit will be at the Dead Pit booth, rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling.
Oh, I probably won't be over that long. I'll probably be walking around doing shit.
Yeah, you'll be over all day. I'm going to make you.
You're going to chain me down to the table.
Or are you going to go meet Chip Coffee and rub on him?
Did we ever mention this on a show, though, that time that I tried to get Jess to meet Chip Coffee and she was too fucking scared to go up to him?
No.
That was hilarious, though. He was, like, standing right there.
Evidently, Chip Coffee's a big deal, but I don't know why.
He was right there. She was, like, 5 feet away from him. I was standing with her, and I was like, you should go. I mean, she was really wanting to meet him. I was like, you should just go up to him. Like, she was completely terrified of what he was going to. What the fuck was he going to? You get away from me, you fucking bitch.
I'm about to have a paranormal emergency.
The Stanley Hotel toilet shitter overflowed. I've got to go down there. I seriously, like, I would walk right up to him. I don't give a shit at all about him. That's just me, though. I know he knits skirts.
You don't
skirts
even care about Chip Coffee. You ought to be ashamed.
I know he knits, like, something. He's got little sashes and shit that he hands out to people that he knits.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, we just wanted to inform everybody that Dead Pit will be at Scarefest in full force one day.
That'd be a good gimmick for me, though, if I sit there and like crocheted like while we're at conventions.
Yeah.
Here you go.
So I'm excited about Scarefest, though.
Yeah, we'll be
even
there.
Though I probably won't get any autographs this year.
Yeah, that's not really the point. The point is to go down there and get completely blitzkrieged.
We're going to do the blitzkrieg bomb.
Yes, we are.
Then we'll do the Loose and Hop Bop.
We're going to meet Loose and Hop Hensky. DVD Blu-ray releases for 9/13/11, though. This is next Tuesday, which I'm hoping to hurry up and get these fuckers in because I ordered them forever ago. The Halloween 2 Blu-ray is coming out.
Was Halloween 3 Blu-ray? Has that been delayed or something?
I didn't see anything about Halloween 3 on there.
I didn't either.
Manhunter Blu-ray, which I don't give a shit about. The Hills Have Eyes 2006 Blu-ray.
The unrated version.
The unrated one, yeah. The Basement Retro 80s Horror Collection, which is a big box VHS edition with Video Violence 1 and 2, Cannibal Campout, and exclusively Captives and The Basement.
It's from Camp Motion Pictures.
Also, Ginger Dead Man 3, Saturday Night Cleaver.
Fucking full moon shit.
I think that the tagline for that movie was Another One Bites the Crust.
Shit.
That's it. That is pretty fucking
dude,
stupid.
Dude, seriously, like, oh, God. Do people just not want their money? They just willing to fucking, like, that is, like, the biggest waste of money in those stupid fucking movies. Or anything from Full Moon, honestly. Like, God damn, that's just some of the worst shit ever.
It is, really. But you're supposed to be sending us something. I don't know what it is.
We're going to send this petrified dude in space.
Back to the forest.
Yeah. I just totally fucking hate Full Moon. And I fucking hate Trauma, too.
Yeah, I actually hate Trauma, but that's a whole different story. Also, though, I know you're really looking forward to going and seeing this.
We're both going to go see this. We're going to do an on the road for it this weekend. Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star.
Bucky.
They have these commercials all over TV when I was watching wrestling and stuff.
God damn, that's the most annoying commercial I think I've ever seen, too.
To me, it's a shame that we live in a world where shit like this comes out in a theater. And, like, just some of the awesomest movies, you know, over the past 5 or 6 years, we could go down a huge line of them that we never had a chance to see in a theater that would have been awesome. But, no, Bucky Larson...
I don't even know if retards would laugh at that movie. Like, that's just, like, the lowest common denominator.
It does look absolutely awful, though. And they keep, the thing that, if I ever had any desire to go and see that movie, which I didn't, but even if I ever thought about it, the commercials would make you just fucking not ever want to go see it with that guy on there. Come see Bucky Larson! You'll love it!
Bucky Larson born to be a star!
God damn.
I just...
Your speech is about that, aren't you?
I hate life when shit like that goes on. It's just... It's one of those things where...
Makes me want to fucking die.
Where life isn't always fair, folks. The winners aren't always winners to me. They're pieces of shit. So... Bucky Larson, born to be a star, opening this weekend. With that said, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to go back, what is it, 16, 17 years now. God damn, why has it been that long?
That's fucked up.
Yeah, back to the early to mid-90s, 1994, and we're going to be talking about the horror movies that came out that year. Horror was as dead as it has ever been until, like, now, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about the movies that came out, and some of them weren't even theatrical. This is shit that also came out on, you know, direct to VHS and shit. It was a task to even find a list this vast in 1994 horror films. So we're going to take a break. We will be back and feature the horrors of 1994 here on Dead Pit.
Hi, this is Ellen Sandweiss, a.k.a. Cheryl from The Evil Dead, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Terror from under the house. It is in the basement of your home. You can hear it, and soon you will see it. Terror from under the house. Warning. Free. Free with every ticket. You must accept free screaming teeth of terror as a warning that terror from under the house might just scare you to death. Hemisphere Pictures presents Terror from Under the House. You may never go in the basement again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
What's up with what's going down?
What's up? I was thinking back, like, I was watching, what the hell was I watching? I think I was making a DVD of, from like 2002, 2001, wrestling or something like that. I was making DVDs, watching some of the stupid commercials. God damn, they were fucking annoying. What's up?
Oh, yeah, the Bud Light commercials. Yeah.
And also, I remember seeing the Bud Light frogs. Do you remember the Bud Light frogs?
That was good, Bud.
Wise. Or how about, yeah, lizard, lizard, lizard.
Oh, yeah. fucking chihuahua.
Yeah. Somebody kicked shit out of that chihuahua and it died.
Did they? Yeah. They punt kicked it across the room. But if you remember 1994, then you're in for a fucking treat, man.
What was going on? We can give a little bit of a...
Grunge was what was going on in 94.
Yeah, Pearl Jam.
Know that. Yeah. Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
Nirvana was dead by then, though. Kurt Cobain died that year, didn't he?
He died in 94?
I think so, yeah.
Was it 94? Yeah. Maybe it was. I don't know, like...
But, I mean, they were at their height of their popularity. I know that.
And then all those
Alanis
bands...
Alanis Morissette was around that time.
Yeah, all those bands that followed that shit, too.
And what was going on in the world of sports. I know that the fucking Bulls were back popular again. That was when Jordan was back with the Chicago Bulls.
We had an awesome economy because Clinton was in. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember back then when shit was actually going well?
Wrestling sucked ass in 94.
It did. Wrestling fucking blew. TV was awesome back in 94, though. I do know that.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff on TV. Tales from the Crypt was still on at that point. You know, actually, personally, we were both in our first year of high school in 94.
Yeah, that's right. It was freshman year.
We got to experience 4 great years at Prestonsburg High.
I was in an ag trailer with people smoking weed outside of it.
Fucking Kevin Porter jacking off in front of everybody. That was always fun.
A lot of good times. Kevin Porter, I forgot all about that guy.
Yeah, and the horror world, like, me personally, I don't think I was watching that many horror movies around that time. If I was, it was, like, old stuff. And I wasn't. The only movie I can think of that I went to, I only saw, I won't say which one it was yet. There's one movie on this list that I remember seeing in the theater.
Looking at this list. I think there's only one on here I saw in the theater.
So I wasn't watching a lot of horror at the time. I mean,
well, man, if you look at this list, though, there wasn't a lot of these movies that came out in the fucking theater.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that for sure. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a difficult task trying to get a decent-sized list of stuff that did come out, not even theatrically, but, you know, straight to video, because it just wasn't a lot. But let's go ahead and get started, Uncle Will. Pick one.
Okay. I guess first up, we'll start with this one because this is the one that I actually did see in the theater for some reason. I don't even really know why now. Wolf, which was Mike Nichols' film starring Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer, and James Spader. As I recall it, Jack Nicholson is out somewhere. He gets scratched or bitten by a wolf, and Michelle Pfeiffer's like his girlfriend or I think it's just his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, all this stuff happens after he gets, like, he's a high exec at his job or something and gets released.
Right.
Or somebody gets, you know, gets the job, gets a raise or something at his job, and it's supposed to be him, it wasn't him or whatever, and he's down on his luck and shit like that. And since he became a wolf or, you know, werewolf, whatever, his personality changes quite a bit and stuff like that. It's more...
See, it's like a remake of The Wolfman, but for like a modern...
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie, but I don't remember a whole lot about it.
I remember that the big thing was you were trying to figure out who the main wolf was in it that like turned him into a wolf and all that, and that was the big reveal at the end of the movie and all that. And
I remember Michelle Pfeiffer's hotter than fuck in it.
Well, yeah, she always is, but it's... It's not a great movie, and it's not, in my mind, like a horrible movie. It was one of those movies that was just kind of there. It's kind of weird that he even made that fucking movie, if you think about it.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. I remember it was on the cover of Fangoria.
Oh, yeah. I remember that cover.
I think I've got that somewhere. So Wolf.
Mike Nichols is not really known for doing horror films either, to be honest.
What else has he done?
He's done, like, a lot of dramas and comedies, from what I remember.
Like what?
Did he direct?
I keep thinking of Mike Judd, but I know it's a different Mike.
I'm not entirely sure. But didn't he direct? That was Richard Donner. Did Richard Donner direct the Lethal Weapon movies?
Yeah.
He directed something like that, though.
I don't know what Mike Nichols directed. I can look it up here in a little bit.
Yeah, we should probably look it up.
If you want to continue talking about Wolf, although... me, personally, like... I've got it on Blu-ray. It's one of those that I just got... just seeing it, you know, and because I didn't really, for some reason, I saw it when it came out, and I didn't really have any desire to ever watch it again.
No, it's I haven't ever watched it again since the first time I saw it either, to be honest. I remember it's not a gory film at all. It's more like a drama stylistic kind of horror film almost. And it does really just detail like Jack Nicholson turning into a fucking werewolf throughout the whole thing and Michelle Pfeiffer being the one that's in love with him. And there's a conflict in it, but I can't really say anything about the conflict without giving away the end of the movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the movie. Like I said, though, it's not an amazing film by any stretch.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's one that, yeah, a lot of people kind of forget about, honestly. Mike Nichols. He's done all kinds of stuff, looks like to me. Directed 22 movies. Primary Colors was one that he did, The Birdcage, Regarding Henry, Working Girl, a bunch of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever did another
horror
film.
The Graduate,
film,
I guess, was the big one that started off his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Postcards from the Edge. We all remember that one.
I do actually remember that. Sadly, that's the movie that was based on Carrie Fisher's life. It had your favorite accent, too, Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about another one. I don't really have anything to say about it. I just think it's funny. It's on here. Witchcraft 6.
Fuck. Yeah, Witchcraft 6 was much, much better than Witchcraft 5, though. You got to admit
it's an undercraft. Witchcraft 6 is underrated in the Witchcraft series.
It is.
They're up to, like, Witchcraft 18 now, but...
they really are. It really belongs in the top 15, at least, of the Witchcraft
series. I just remember, like, a whole section of... they had, like, Witchcraft 1 through whatever at fucking... Jenny Wilde video.
They all had the same cover. It was it was a pentagram
like
in the middle of the cover.
Some seductive looking woman
with
on
some
it.
Naked ass woman hanging off a pentagram. That was the whole theme of every movie that ever came out.
I don't know if I ever watched any of the Witchcraft movies.
I never watched any of them all the way through, I know.
So, that was that year. Another one, I guess it was, I always put these two together. I think they were both from the same studio. It was Universal. And this one I know we've both seen, the Frankenstein, the Kenneth Branagh Frankenstein remake from 94.
With the Neo.
Yeah, with Bobby D.
He thinks about Frankenstein.
I think this was a movie that was, a lot of people hated it when it came out too, right? Because it was just so, it was really more faithful to the book than it was the original Frankenstein movie.
I just remember I watched it one time when it came out, and I didn't really like it either, to be quite honest about it. It's like Kenneth Branagh around that time was directing all of the Shakespeare-style movies and stuff like that. And it's kind of like if Shakespeare created a fucking Frankenstein, like tried to do like a Frankenstein.
You know, though, how long has it been since 94 since you saw it? You
know, yeah.
I appreciate the movie for what it is. I mean, the visuals in the movie are amazing. Like, especially on the Blu-ray, looks unreal.
You gotta keep in mind too, though, I was 14 when I saw this, so I'd probably have a different opinion of whatever's going on now.
Yeah. Robert De Niro, that was a horrible casting decision, still to this day though, because...
I'm the monster!
Yeah,
I'm
I mean,
the fucking
he's just,
monster!
Even with the makeup and stuff on, you can tell who it is, and it ruins the movie to me. I mean, it really does. And Kenneth Branagh actually also plays the Dr. Frankenstein in the movie. So he's director and actor, and he does that a lot, I guess, in a lot of his other movies and shit.
Yeah, in Remains of the Day especially, that was an amazing piece. That Howard's End.
The Remains of the Day.
All those movies like that, I never watched any of them. I just remember the titles. Like, it was all a bunch of hoity-toity shit. Remains of the Day.
Yeah, they are kind of pretentious movies. But I, you know, Frankenstein 94 is actually not completely horrible. I actually think it's a watchable movie. It's, again, it's something that I probably wouldn't want to rewatch a lot, but, you know, it is what it is.
Let's talk about a movie you never want to watch again. The Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. 1994, that's right. A group of teenagers, of course, get into a car crash in Texas and end up at the, Leatherface Farmhouse, and this was directed by the writer of the first one, or I guess the co-writer of the first one, Kim Hinkle. And its most notable as everybody knows, for just starring Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey before they were famous.
Now, the interesting thing about this movie
There's many interesting things about this
movie. Well, yeah, but one is this movie, I'm not sure exactly what year this movie was made. I know it didn't come out until about, I don't even know if it came out in 94.
I think there was an injunction against it because after Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey got famous, they tried to, every way in the world to keep it from coming out. Like their lawyers
did. Renee Zellweger's big movie was Jerry Maguire or something, wasn't it, when she first
I think that was the first movie, yeah.
His was, what was his?
Wasn't his the, wasn't The Firm. What was that other one that was like a
Time to Kill?
Was that it? Yeah, I think that was his big break.
So it had, I think it had to be after 94 when this came out. Maybe it was made in 94 and didn't come out until like 96 or 97.
No, wait a minute. Dazed and Confused was probably McConaughey's first big movie.
At any rate, like this was credited as coming out in 94. So we'll just go with that. Yeah,
you might as well keep it in there because it's awesome to talk about. What can you really say about
originally,
this movie,
like it is, it's not even called Return to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, though. It's called The Next Generation now.
Yeah.
But the original title was Return of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's basically a remake of the original
movie.
It
is, but it's like a much shittier, like, insane remake of the original, where Matthew McConaughey's like the, I guess he would be like the hitchhiker character in it or something. And
yeah, he's kind of like the bionic hitchhiker.
Yeah, he's got like a leg brace that's like a hydraulic
leg brace.
Leatherface is a completely fucking like transsexual throughout the whole thing.
He's like Chaz Bono Leatherface.
And there's some sort of weird mob connection in the movie where something about the family.
What the hell is the guy got like eyeballs and shit in his chest or something? Something weird like that.
Yeah,
like,
I don't remember.
The mafia guy opens up his chest and he's got like eyeballs or something.
It's just a clusterfuck of a movie, really. And the whole thing, like, they tried really hard to make it in some scenes just like the original with a lot of like torturing Renee Zellweger in place of Marilyn Burns.
Yeah, the first 20, 30 minutes, the movie's actually not that bad. I mean, starting out, it's
something
not
happens, though. Like, when they start getting into all the conspiracy theory stuff in the movie and all of the stuff with all the mob people, and there's like a female sheriff or a female something like that that comes into it, and she's some sort of connection to outside. It's just, it goes completely off
the
rails.
Yeah, they have like a love triangle between her and the guy, what was his name? Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you remember this. We were talking about this recently on something. Deborah McMichael's briefly in this. It's like you remember Mongo's wife and
Mongo. Yeah.
It's like an extra, but she does talk in it. And I don't know if you remember her in it. You can see her in it. And she talks in it real briefly.
What is she, like a nurse or something?
I think she's a police officer or something. Or
I bet she's proud of hell about that now.
Yeah. And
Isn't Jim Dugan in it, and Marilyn Burns?
Jim Dugan and Marilyn Burns are both also, like, cameos in it, so.
Well, another thing, too, the Robert Jacks guy, the guy that played Leatherface.
He's dead, ain't he?
Yeah, there's all kinds of rumors about him. Like, he was a friggin', I mean, these are all rumors, keep that in mind. But something about he was a Vietnam vet or something, and then while he was playing this role, he had some severe psychotic issues.
I remember hearing something about a deleted scene from this movie that had Leatherface with a strap-on dildo running around.
That probably wouldn't surprise me at all.
I can imagine that. You know what, though? I won't probably piss a bunch of people off, but 10-1, I'd rather watch this movie again than any of the remake or that. Well, definitely the remake, I'll say. Maybe I'd watch the prequel to the remake more.
I'd never watch either one of those fucking movies again. Like, I mean, I'd probably watch that one before I'd watch it.
That's what
and
I'm
I
saying.
Actually went back about a year ago and tried to watch it. I got all the way through it, but it was one of those films that just leaves you, like, you think
towards the end, you're kind of numb.
Yeah, you think that it might be better, like, when you go, if you go back and watch it, and when you get done watching, you're like, no, that's a piece of shit. There's no way to get around it, really.
Yeah. So, yeah, Return to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm not sure exactly when that fucking thing came out, though. Like, I know it was delayed for a while or something. Another one that we could briefly mention on here, because I haven't seen this movie in forever, but a lot of people like it, is Brain Scan, which Eddie Furlong, I think it was like, I think it was his first movie after it was probably his third movie, I guess, because Pet Sematary 2 was his first movie, correct? And then it was this one.
After T2?
After T2.
I think so, yeah.
And
Damn, though. Both those movies together were...
Brain Scan's a bizarre fucking movie, though. I remember seeing it, like, I saw it maybe once or twice, and it's one of the killer video game movies or something where he plays this video game and gets...
Honestly, I've seen it, and this was back when it was on, like, HBO and stuff, but I can't remember a damn thing about it. Like, I know that he, in some way or another, summons that guy that's, like, comes out of the... I think it's either a computer or the TV. I don't remember what it is exactly. But he's some sort of weird little elfish-looking creature that is hell-bent on killing a bunch of people, and the whole thing is Edward Furlong trying to figure out how to stop that damn thing.
Yeah. Frank Langella, I think, was the guy that was the weird-looking motherfucker.
You know that movie always reminds me of, too, even though I don't know if they have anything in common, is The Lawnmower Man. Like, it's kind of that virtual reality
shit. They're kind of like...
shit.
A lot of those movies from the mid-90s that I just don't have any interest in watching again. Lawnmower Man's another one.
There are people that swear on this movie, though, that absolutely love it.
I don't remember it being horrible.
I got to go back and see it again, because I haven't seen it in, well, hell, probably 10 years.
Yeah, we couldn't give a proper review on it, I don't guess, but I remember it not being completely horrible. So.
The one we can give a proper review on, though, is Funny Man.
I don't have a proper review I can give on it. I remember... This was one of the early movies that we got for review when we started doing the show.
One of the very first, like, screeners.
And it was, like, one of those little bitty tiny companies, because there was a ton of them.
It was Subversive, wasn't it? Subversive Cinema?
Yeah, it might have been Subversive. There was a ton of these little companies that started out in, like, 2006 that weren't... I mean, we kind of... I guess, I don't know if we were lucky or not, but we got, like, tons of shit.
The weird thing is about that company, though, man, like... The shit that they put in those releases was amazing. Like they had, they were like, they had awesome booklets and had tons of special features.
But the movies themselves were shit.
All the movies were fucking awful. Like they did that Savage Cinema thing from like Australia where they put that box set together. And it
that was actually the best, probably one of the better ones. Because you remember The Garden, don't you?
Yeah, and then didn't they put out?
Or it was The Gardener, I think.
What was the one they put out, too, that was...
Dust Devil.
That one, too, probably. But there was one with Ed Neal in it. Future Kill.
Oh,
that was
fuck.
The other one, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But Funny Man... I remember, like, reading about it, and they made it sound like it was going to be fucking killer. Like, it was England's version of Freddy Krueger as Funny Man, right? And I was like, well, and Christopher Lee is in it.
He's a jester, by the way. Funny Man is like a killer fucking jester.
Yeah. And I remember reading about it and seeing, I think there's a trailer on their website about it and stuff. And I was excited. I was like, holy shit, this is going to be killer.
It's in Fangoria, by the way. When it came out, there was an article about it in Fangoria.
And I just remember, like, I started watching it. Probably about the first 10 minutes, I was like, because it's British. It's a British horror movie. And I was like, what in the fuck is this shit? Because, like, it's blatantly a ripoff of Freddy Krueger. Like, the character, like, he has one-liners and hops around and laughs and shit. But it's awful. Like, the one-liners are awful. The guy playing Funny Man, I think, what was it, Tim James? I think is the guy.
I don't know.
The guy that played him. Just, oh my God. Like, it was so bad. And you know how I am. I usually keep about everything. One of our first conventions we went to, we tried to sell that fucker because it was so shitty.
Yeah, it was, the plot too is completely incoherent. I don't even think there is a plot to that movie. It's like just a bunch of random shit happens around in that guy.
You can totally tell it's one of those movies that Christopher Lee was like, fuck it. Sign on to it.
Sign my check, bitch. This was before Lord of the Rings.
I have no clue why there was, like, it should have been one of those movies completely forgot about. Nobody ever wanted on DVD or anything. So.
That's all I can say about it, really. It is a horrible movie, though.
It is fucking awful, to say the least. There are a lot of sequels, though. I guess we could do a little sequel portion of 1994. More than I even thought. Like, we can go through some of these a little quick because I don't remember them. Leprechaun 2. You remember Leprechaun 2?
No, I don't. Which one was 2? You have any idea?
No.
Because if it doesn't have, like, I know the when he goes to the hood.
I know the third one had Carolyn Williams in it. Like, she was, it was in Vegas or something, the third one was.
What the hell was 2 then? I know. I watched all those movies because we got, like, a Lionsgate triple feature of them one time.
I don't remember Leprechaun 2. I was hoping you would.
I don't remember a goddamn thing about Leprechaun 2.
I remember liking Night of the Demons 2.
Night of the Demons 2 is almost exactly the same movie as Night of the Demons. That's why it's so good. Yeah. It's like, I think, though, doesn't it take place in a convent or something like that? Or it takes place in...
I don't really remember. I remember it being a really, really low-budget version of Night of the Demons. But
it's got some awesome special effects and stuff in it to be that low budget of a film, too.
Like, I'm thinking both of these ones were out on direct-to-video. I don't remember them in the theater. Do you?
No, there's no way any one of those films was in the fucking theater. But I do know Night of the Demons 2, it takes the exact same formula as the first one. Like, a group of kids end up in this, I want to say that it's at a dance, maybe, and it takes place... maybe like a prom or something that takes place in like a convent, something to that effect, like a haunted nunnery or something. And it's pretty much exactly the same kind of story.
We'll go through some more of these sequels. I don't remember this one either. So Puppet Master 5, that came out that year.
I have no idea.
That was one that Jeff Burr did.
Yeah, so it's bound to be good.
They said it was the final chapter, but I think they lied.
No, it was. They never came back after that.
And one that I know you've seen, I haven't seen, is Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings.
That's another Jeff Burr classic with Amy Dolans. Didn't, who is Mickey Dolans' daughter, by the way.
Isn't Salil Moon Frye in this one, too? Didn't you say that?
I don't remember. Yeah, she is in it. Yeah.
She showed her titties in
it. Linnea Quigley's in it? No, she never showed her tits in anything.
Fuck.
Andrew Robinson's in it. If you remember him from Hellraiser.
Jeff Burr directed it.
It's Blood Wings, though.
What do you remember about it? I haven't seen it. I don't think I've ever seen it. Whatever happened to them fucking Pumpkinhead sequels they did like a couple years ago? Did you ever see those?
Ashes to Ashes. Yeah. Those were on Sci-Fi, weren't they? That's what happened.
I think so. But, I mean, did they ever come out on DVD or anything?
Yeah, I think. All the stuff's on Sci-Fi. I'll
probably get them for a dime then now.
They're completely shit, though, I guarantee it.
Probably.
So, Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Wings. I don't remember a fucking thing about it.
Pumpkinhead 2 Blood Monkey. One that I know we can talk a little bit about. Well, no, there's actually another sequel in here we can mention since we're going through these shitty sequels. Ghoulies 4.
Oh, God.
Jim Wynorski directed this one.
This isn't the classic, though, where they go to college, is it?
No. I don't know if I've ever seen Ghoulies 4, but I've heard a lot of things about it. Like, basically 20 minutes of the movie is new, and there are no ghoulies in the actual 20 minutes of the new part of the movie. It's like a flashback from the previous Ghoulies films. And I think they're like oversized Ghoulies or something. Maybe on the cover or something like that.
Are they like munchy Ghoulies?
I'd kind of like to see it just to see how shitty it is. Maybe that... A lot of people don't realize that there are other movies that we could do like drunken commentaries over and shit like that. Might actually be pretty fun to do too.
That would be awesome, although nobody would be able to find Ghoulies 4.
Probably not.
So.
There's one more sequel if you want to talk about it.
There's actually 2 more, really. But, yeah, we can talk about both of those in terms of actually knowing something about them. Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead.
Yeah.
Directed by Don Coscarelli.
My least favorite Phantasm, I think, of the whole series, believe it or not.
It's
a lot of people hate on Oblivion, but
it's like a comedy, really.
Yeah.
It's the most comedic Phantasm film for sure, like by a long shot. You introduce the characters of Rocky, who's the black chick with the nunchucks and shit that like goes on some sort of rampage, and this little kid that has like all these Home Alone rip-off creations. Like, he creates this boomerang with razors on it to decapitate all these ghouls and all this stuff. It's really tongue-in-cheek. It's not very scary, and it is kind of silly, but I thought it was okay.
Definitely the most 90s of all the Phantasm films. Like, just hokey. Like, yeah, it does look a lot like... to me, the look of Phantasm 3 resembles, like, the look of Problem Child or something.
It does,
just got that generic, like... low budget video look to it, you know.
I will say that it Michael Baldwin's back in it. That's the first time after James LaGrosse took over in his spot, and then Reggie's back, of course.
And I remember when we talked to Michael Baldwin about it, it was supposed to be a theatrical movie, but I guess Universal had the rights to it. They looked at the movie and they were like, there's no way we're bringing it. I mean, that had to be one of the main factors. There's no way we can bring this out in theaters because it didn't look like a theatrical movie.
No, it wasn't a movie you could ever imagine seeing in a theater because it had shit in it like humor kind of corpses that came back to life.
It's kind of like stupid slapstick stuff that doesn't even fit with that style of horror.
It's like, and you go back and watch the first Fantasia, there was nothing about that movie that was supposed to be funny at all. It was completely like dead serious kind of nightmare, and then you go to that and it's like fucking Home Alone or something. So
I mean, the Phantasm films should have, you know, a lot of cool kills, some cool atmosphere, action, stuff like that. And this movie really didn't have any of that.
So it's like the Return of Living Dead 2 of the series.
It really isn't. It just, I don't know what Coscarelli was thinking. And a lot of people shit on Oblivion, and Oblivion's not great by any means, but it had that feeling like the first movie had. It had that nightmarish look to it throughout the whole movie, and it just had a cool atmosphere about it. And this movie lacked that, and the Rocky character's stupid. So
that is one of the worst characters. Actually, both those characters are awful.
Another one, though, that I know, I don't think I've ever seen The Stand. You want to?
Dude, that's another one of those. This is the problem with this year, because I only ever saw this stuff when it came out, and I don't remember anything. Like, this has been, you know, however long ago, 15, 16 years now. I know I saw it when it came on TV. I don't remember anything at all about it.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Another one that I think the remaking we could mention is The Crow, which I don't even know if you consider that a horror movie that much.
No, I don't really. I wouldn't consider that a horror film. I guess it's more like a dark gothic action film, really.
Yeah, but it was a huge hit. That was one of the movies I know that made a fuck ton of money.
It made Sting's career for like 15 years.
Yeah. Sting was just a couple years too late with it, though, really. That movie had been out for 2 years by the time he did that gimmick.
It's actually not a bad movie, though. It's a pretty cool film. Like an artist. He's an artist in it. No, he's a musician. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's a musician. Played by Bruce Lee's kid, Brandon Lee. Gets murdered on, I believe it's Halloween night, where they go around. And this is a real thing that happens, too, by the way. I thought this was just a bunch of bullshit. But in Detroit, apparently, because I was talking to Jess about this, for several years, they, on Halloween, would actually go and burn fucking houses down. For real. Just like a bunch of hoodlums would go around parts of Detroit and actually set places, mostly places that were already condemned, but also some places that weren't. They just fucking set them on fire. And there's like so many different fires that the police couldn't do anything at all about it. Like there's so many different things going on at one time. And they called it something, like a special kind of night, like night of something, but I don't remember what it was. Anyway.
Night of Anarchy.
Yeah. Like Hell Night or something. I don't remember what it was now, but that was kind of the premise of this movie. On that night, as I recall, like a group of thugs break in and end up murdering Brandon Lee, but his soul transforms in a crow, and he's granted vengeance to come back to life and to take vengeance on all these people that murdered him. They murdered him and his wife, didn't they, or something like that?
His girlfriend or something.
Girlfriend, yeah.
And that's the cool thing, though. He's not really in the movie, he's not really a ghost or anything, but he's just like a, I don't know, what would you call him? Because people could see him and shit.
Yeah, he's not a ghost. He's just,
he's like a entity or something.
Yeah, like a undead vigilante. It's like fucking, it's like a undead Death Wish. That's what that movie is.
It is amazing how much, though, WCW ripped off a ton of shit that's in that movie, too. Not even just the look of the character. But yeah, the movie's really good. Actually, the Blu-ray is coming out sometime in the next month or so. That might be one I actually buy if we don't get it to review.
Do you remember the dude's name that was the lead villain in it? Because he was actually pretty good, too.
I don't. I do not.
I think the scene that everybody remembers is the scene where he breaks into the dinner and all those criminals and stuff from the gang are sitting around that dinner table and he sits down like cross-legged in the middle of dinner, mm-hmm. which I think is actually a rip-off of that too. And he's just like talking to all of them.
He got that from Sitting Bull, buddy.
Yeah.
It's
a pretty influential film, and I don't think they ever really made a film like that up to that point.
No, they made a fuckload of stupid sequels that nobody cared about.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Brandon Lee, of course, dies on the fucking set of the film.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the weird thing about Brandon Lee to me is I actually like almost all of his films. And people hate, like, a lot of the rest of them, but I liked Rapid Fire.
Oh, Lord.
That was the one with Powers Booth in it. I liked fucking Showdown Little Tokyo with Dolph Lundgren in it. I thought that was a cool film. And he did another one, too.
He didn't do that many movies, though.
No, he did another one, too, that I actually really liked.
I think it's shitty, though, that he became a huge star from the movie he died on. Like,
yeah, it definitely is.
Oh, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool, but, I mean, still, he didn't get to enjoy any of it.
Killed by a blank, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the whole story was, they were blanks. It wasn't, like, a loaded gun. But it's too, I mean, I don't know if he just didn't think that there were any blanks in the gun or what, but he just held the gun right, point blank to his head or something and shot himself joking around. And I guess all of the whatever they use for blanks, the powder and stuff or whatever, killed him, like the force of it and stuff.
There was something about it where there was something lodged in the gun, I think, and then when the blank went off, it shot that out of the gun or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know every little detail of it, but I don't think you can, even if it's a blank, you can't fucking hold it because it's going to have a force of shit that's going to come out. I mean,
I'm not sure like how exactly that happened either, but I do know that it was a pretty dumb fucking idea. If he held it to his head, he's a dumbass. If somebody else, like, pointed at him and shot there, fucking stupid too. I don't know how it happened exactly.
Yeah, we don't do any research.
No, it was a stupid thing to be pointing a fucking gun. I don't care what kind of gun it is. Like, for real.
Love gun, even. You don't point that at anybody unless
only
you...
Ace Frehley can do that, yeah. Buddy. What?
What else we got?
We got... Here's a movie, though. I'm sure if you saw it or not, but I really, really like it. A lot of people hate it. Needful Things.
No, if it's got Sam Neill in it, I don't want to see it.
I don't think it does have Sam Neill in it, does it? No, it's got Etta Harris in it, Max von Sydow, Bonnie Bedelia. Bunch of people are in
this
movie.
Who'd you say?
Needful Things.
Oh, I thought you said In the Mouth of Madness.
Huh.
We ain't talked about that yet.
Have you seen Needful Things, though?
Yeah, I have seen Needful Things. I like it.
Yeah, it's a story where, like, Satan basically moves in to a small town in Maine where, of course, Stephen King always bases all his films, and he's got, like, a little trinket shop, and inside of it is something that everybody in the town, like, there's one item in there that everybody really wants because he's the devil. He knows what they want, like, at the heart of it. And basically, if they buy it or take it from him there, then they go crazy because he kind of controls their soul after that. And that it just is the destruction of the town, basically, after they give in and get the thing that they most want from this store. It's a really cool story, actually. It's a really cool film, and Max von Sydow is awesome in it. And I always remember the soundtrack of it because it's got that song that's so killer. It's like, do 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 do. Yeah.
Yeah, did this movie come out in theaters? I don't remember.
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think every Stephen King film was coming out in theaters around that
time. Well, at this time, too, though, you had a lot of the made-for-TV movies and stuff that was coming out.
It wasn't made-for-TV, I do know that. Like, it was either direct-to-DVD or fucking in the theater.
Because there were just so many of them that were coming out in the early to mid-90s. Yeah, basically, like, anything that they get from Needful Things ends up being their demise or something, right?
Yeah, and somehow or another, it drives them crazy. Like, and I guess that's the point, like the things, like materialistic things eventually drive people crazy.
And Ed Harris is like the sheriff in it or something.
Yeah, Ed Harris is the sheriff of the town who I don't think he ever really gets involved in it. He's the only one that really realizes what's going on.
Yeah. There's another movie while we talk about Ed Harris, that I'm almost positive also came out in 94, and it's not a horror movie.
Oh, God. It's Milk Money, isn't it?
Did it come out in 94?
I think it did around that time.
I want to look it up to make sure. But, well, I think, I don't know if we've ever mentioned Milk Money on here before. What the fuck?
That's an awesome fuck. I don't give a fuck what the parental rights groups or anything said around that time. Like, yeah, I know it was kind of controversial, but that movie is actually really good.
Yeah, but it's just hilarious. Like, the kids decide, yeah, it was 94. They just, the kids in the movie decide to fucking rent a hooker.
Which is, the like, completely unrealistic because the hooker in it is Melanie Griffith.
Who looked fucking hard fuck in that movie, too.
That was, like, the best she ever looked.
Holy shit. Then there's the scene, too, where she shows the little kids her titties.
Right.
I think she kids, like, oh my God.
I think the point of the movie, too, which was so bizarre, is they were trying to, like, get her as a prostitute. Were they trying to have sex with her originally? And, like, she was too, like, she knew that they were too young and just, like, showed them her tits and stuff instead of doing that.
Yeah.
Which, they go into a city. I remember that in the movie, to get a whore. And these kids are like,
they've been
what,
saving their money.
12?
I don't even know if they're that old.
I love the pitch meeting behind that movie. Here's what we're going to do.
We're going to call it Milk Money. Is the name of it, too. Milk Money. I love it. I wish that would come out on Blu-ray. I'd get it.
What was it, though, about Hollywood around that time? They were making all kinds of, like, horrors with the heart of gold stories, like Pretty Woman and that movie and shit.
I want a hole with a heart of gold. Oh, God. Milk Money was killer, though. And so was Needful Things.
Yeah, so, anyway, let's transition to another film here. In the Mouth of Madness, you mentioned, though, was a Carpenter film from that year, which you haven't seen, right? Because of Sam Neill?
No, I don't watch Sam Neill movies.
This is an interesting film. A lot of people love it, and then some people just don't care that much for it, but I kind of liked it because I don't have that much of a Sam Neill problem.
I do. But him and Jeff Goldblum.
The guy's name in it, Sutter Kane, who's this author who goes missing. And Sam Neill is brought in to try to figure out what the hell happened to Sutter Kane, to try to find him, track him down, because he's the writer of all these movies all these books that are amazing. And one day his publicist just can't find him anymore. So he's like, he's got to get Sam Neill, try to track him down. In the middle of all this, of Sam Neill trying to figure out what's going on, he starts to have these weird hallucinations and starts seeing all this stuff, and then ends up in this town where Sutter Kane's supposed to be, but everything's really not as it appears to be, I guess. And he starts getting sucked into this world where, I don't give away the movie, but needless to say, it's a really unusual film.
You like it.
And yeah, I do like it. I mean, it's completely unique. It's like one of the last movies Carpenter did where it was really obvious it was a Carpenter movie. Like, it was a real...
Yeah. And Carpenter, after this point, really didn't do a whole... I mean, in the 90s, how many movies did he do? Like, about two or three in the 90s?
Let's see, he did Vampires. He did In the Mouth of Madness. Ghosts of Mars, was that 2000?
Like
2000. Okay.
Or 2001.
Didn't he do Memoirs of an Invisible Man around that time, though, the 90s?
Was that in the 90s?
Yeah, with Chevy Chase. And
he didn't
do
too many. Escape from L.A., that would have been one.
Oh, fuck, I hate that fucking movie. People talk about liking that movie. You can't be serious. That movie's awful.
It is pretty bad. It's hard to believe that was in a theater, too. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I was thinking, when did he do Prince of Darkness?
That was late
80s?
Like 88. I like to see that movie again, actually.
That's another movie that he was doing some really, like, subversive shit around that time.
I wish they released that shit on Blu-ray. Okay. Another one on here. We only have two more, I think, on this list. A movie that I always thought was pretty overrated because when we finally got to watch it, I don't think either of us had seen it before the DVD came out. And it's Cemetery Man, a.k.a. De La Morte de la Morra.
Cemetery.
And it's directed by Michele Soavi.
Michele!
It's about a cemetery man who must kill the dead a second time when they become zombies. It's sort of like everybody knows the cemetery has this special thing where all the dead come back to life and he's in charge of killing them.
Yeah, so he sits up all night with his assistant that kind of looks like Curly from the Three Stooges, and like they shoot zombies in the head when they come back to life. And then something happens in the middle of it where he becomes obsessed with this one particular girl.
I can't blame him.
And that is probably the best set of tits on anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would say that's a 10 titty right there, ten set of titties.
So there's a zombie kind of love scene in it, and... Or wait a minute, there's a love scene, and then something happens, and she becomes a zombie, and then she...
And he tries to titty fuck her.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dark... It's like a dark comedy, though, really, isn't it? It's not even really...
Maybe it's just where it's English, and a lot of English movies like that I don't get, you know, like that comedy a lot of times. I thought it was really overrated. I'm not a big fan of that movie. I only saw it one time, and you can go back to whenever we first reviewed it. I mean, the titties is the best part of the movie, that girl's titties.
There'll be people out there, though, that like are really into dissecting films that'll think that this we're completely stupid and we don't get it. But... Honestly, I've never gone back and watched that film. I have no desire to like go back and watch it either. And there's some people that love it that think it's just the best, one of the best films come out.
I got a philosophy that I've used over the years that works most of the time. If you see a movie for the first time and it's not really that good, there's really not much of a need to go back and watch it and try to convince yourself that it is good. But there's a lot of people that do that.
If you really want to see, though, a good Michele Soavi movie, didn't he direct Stage Fright?
Yeah.
And that's like an amazing slasher film that came out around that time. So shit on De La Morte.
Yeah, it's overrated piece of shit. Sorry, folks. Everybody likes
it. So what do we got left on here? What haven't we talked about?
Well, the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Is one that I saw in the theater.
Is this the one you saw in the theater? I don't think I saw this one.
What was the one you saw in the theater?
Wolf. I saw Wolf.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. So we started with Wolf and we're ending with Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
I think there's another one, too. I think it's overrated as fuck. I really do.
How's it overrated? Nobody really talks about it.
Well, a lot of people that are on the board and stuff think it's great and all this and that, but because it was the precursor to Scream, I guess. But to me, it's like a mess of a film.
Well, I mean, you're asking a lot of the audience, like the movie-going audience, to know all the shit that's in this movie, wouldn't you say?
Especially around that time, because nobody, there was no, like, template.
This is kind of pre-internet. Not everybody had the internet around that time. And
I think it went over everybody's head. Yeah. Like, the whole idea of how to make a movie like that just went over everybody's head.
Yeah, I remember, like, when I was going to see it at 14 years old, it was over my head. I mean, I didn't get a lot of the stuff in it. But if you're, like, now if you go back and watch it, like, it is, like, towards the end of the movie, it's fucking... It does sort of fall apart, I guess. But there's a lot that they did there, and I think when we were talking to Heather Langenkamp, like, she thought that they gave Kevin Williamson way too much credit with the Scream script, because if you go back and watch New Nightmare, a lot of that stuff they used in Scream was in New Nightmare previously.
You got to give the movie, inside stuff. Yeah, you got to give the movie credit, because it did really... preempt all of that stuff that happened with Scream, and it was that movie before that movie came out, before Scream came out. It's just people didn't, it wasn't like fan friendly enough, I guess. Like, you just couldn't understand what they were doing or anything, and there wasn't a lot of nods to other films other than Nightmare on Elm Street in it either. Like, it was just going back to the characters.
It's kind of a film that's made for horror movie fans, for Nightmare on Elm Street fans.
Yeah, if you don't know the plot of it, it's basically like everybody in the film is really playing themselves in the film. Like Nancy, which she's not Nancy in it, she's Heather Langenkamp. Like she's her, it's really her playing herself.
And they even have Wes Craven in it. Like people should know who he is. You know,
Robert Englund is like playing himself and Freddy, like the newer.
Like Bob Shea is even in it at the time.
But the problem is, and I don't know if this was because they'd been out of acting for a while or what was going on, but a lot of those people, like Heather Langenkamp especially, they just looked confused about what the hell they were doing in the movie. Like they didn't know how to play it, if they were supposed to be playing it serious or like as a joke, or it comes across like everybody just doesn't know what their theme is or anything. And that's always been my problem with the film, is the acting's really stilted in it, especially Heather Langenkamp. I didn't want to tell her that or anything, but.
But you'd made her cry.
I do believe that to be true.
I got to say, though, I think, like, after, what, they had Freddy's dead and they had the Dream Child.
Yeah.
That this was a huge improvement over those movies.
I think it was better than those movies, yeah, but that doesn't take a lot. Those movies.
Yeah. Like, that is something, shit. Though. Even, like, you know, the internet's most pretentious motherfuckers will never defend those two movies in particular.
You really can't defend those movies. Especially Freddy's Dead, man. God damn it, that movie.
I don't know, man. I actually think, like, Dream Child is worse than Freddy's Dead.
I don't think there's much anything worse than
Freddy's Dream Child. Because Dream Child has that little ugly motherfucker in it that's supposed to be, like, Freddy's
what
son.
Did he say? What did he say?
He goes, come on, go on, play with me. Or something. Stupid.
Stupid.
They had him dressed up a little bit like Freddy, like the makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
As if the little fucker wasn't ugly enough as it is. God damn. Like, if you go look at him now, he looks exactly the same, but he's got, like, a beard.
He does. Doesn't he do conventions now? Like, he's done a couple.
I don't know.
I know Miko Hughes does conventions now. For sure.
Yeah. So that was Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and that was our list of 94 horror movies. And of all the stuff that came out, I mean, how many of those were actually in the theater? Count them up there.
Okay, I know New Nightmare was. I know Wolf was. That's two. The Crow was. That's three. Frankenstein's four. I don't think any of these sequels were in the theater.
No.
Evil Things is probably five. I'm not sure about In the Mouth of Madness. I think it was, wasn't it? Because it's got a poster and everything.
It might have been. We'll count it.
All right, six then. And Brain Scan. I know it was, too.
So it's seven of all those movies.
Yeah.
So seven horror movies. And I searched, folks. It was pretty extensive. 94, I'll tell you how dead the genre was at that time. It's pretty sad.
How many horror films have come out this year?
Probably not that much. I mean, I'm sure a little bit more than seven, though.
Ones that we've seen. Well, I mean, I've seen more than you have just because I was trying to find shit to do while I was down in Lexington. It's like, and they've all been remakes.
I'd like to see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark remake, though. I've heard good things about that.
Would you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Take me to see it.
No.
Yeah.
No. What's on down at the Strand right now?
Apollo 18 was on. I don't know if it's going to be on by tomorrow, but we'll see. I haven't heard too many good things about that either. But that is the horror of 94. There wasn't much of it.
It's a horror of 94.
Ho! Ho! 94! Ho!
Better lock your
ho.
Fucking door.
Ho! 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 94!
It's kind of a damn bore.
Ho, ho, 94.
It's a hole, not a 94.
Ho, of 94.
That's the theme song for it.
So, yeah, that's it. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some movies. No fan portion because Jess isn't here. She's napping.
That's right. She decided to skip out on.
Yeah.
She didn't want to talk about 1994 because she was still a fetus.
How old was Jess in 94?
Eight.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we will be back after this break on DeadPit.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Penny, director of Brain Dead, Witchboard, and Night of the Demons, and you are listening to DeadPit.com Radio.
Here at DeadPit Radio, we're only interested in blood, violence, and titties.
For all that and more, head on over to the DeadPit message board located at DeadPit.com.
Talk whore with such illustrious board members as Dick Joy,
Thought Hammer,
and Mr. Holland Zanus.
So get unleashed.
So you can fuck like a beast.
Over on the deadpit.com.
Message board from hell.
One step beyond.
Uncle Bill!
Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm Kip Heisner.
You know Dead Pit fans out there? Not a lot of them know about the midweek obliteration.
I thought everybody knew. It's the hottest thing going today.
You can go on Facebook. Check it out on the Dead Pit Universe page. Brand new show almost every damn week. You can hear us bullshitting.
And in a historical first, there's a new member of Dead Pit. Jesco!
Hey, Jesco.
Hi.
You like joining in on the midweek obliteration every week? You like getting obliterated by two Eastern Kentuckians, don't you?
Lay it down with your sweet soul tree boy.
You obliterate all over my
you
face.
Know, yeah, you know you have a lot of guys that masturbate your voice on a weekly basis now.
Oh, God, it's Jesco! Like, oh, it's Jesco! She's so weird, the mail to me!
She's a girl. She likes homos. She's on Dead Pit. That's the perfect girl for me.
I'll just tame a little bit in my pants.
How's that make you feel? You're now like a hillbilly sexual icon.
A hillbilly sexual icon?
Yeah.
Oh, like shit. Goats and yeah. Sisters.
And you can hear all about it. Hey, I ask Jesco some of the nastiest shit known to man almost every week on the Midweek Obliteration, and she answers it, and she has respect for it, don't you?
What the fuck? She has respect for this question.
Yeah,
respect
for me. Telling her about what a blumpkin he is and all that.
Oh, good lord!
She's gonna try that on Uncle Bill over there.
Nobody touching me when I'm shitting. I don't give a damn what the reason is.
Even if I go in there and be like, "Hey,
I'm gonna get out. What are you doing? You crazy? Pull your dick out of the toilet. Give it to me." Oh, God.
Hear all that on the midweek.
Obliteration.
Yay.
Welcome back, everybody. How's everybody doing?
We're back, bulls.
So we had some delightful discussions while we were off the air about next week's Dead Pit show. It's going to be monumental because this has never, ever happened before. We've never done it this way like we're going to do it next week.
We're breaking all the rules. We're changing the game. Just when you thought you knew the answers, we changed all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are doing a horror roundtable next week. But here's the thing. We're not picking in the traditional way who's going to be on the roundtable. No, no, no. That'd be too easy. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you to submit your entries to be on the roundtable. We're going to choose the two most, I guess, deserving.
Yeah, if you want to call the Dead Pit line, 1-606-658-0185, and leave us with some of, you know, just some entertaining audio. Some of your likes, dislikes, opinions on certain films. Keep it brief. If we don't even know who you are, this is your chance. Okay, you got one shot. Do not miss this chance to blow. The opportunity of a lifetime is going to finger fuck your mama.
Wasn't it that John Cena film?
Or whatever.
Or that was 8 Mile. That's what that was.
Yo. What I said, I forgot that.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I'd actually prefer it if it was somebody that we'd never really heard from before, because we've talked to so many people on these roundtables.
I'd prefer it be a woman.
Yeah, you would prefer it be a lady.
With big titties.
Come on.
And of a lip you with backside.
Maybe,
it doesn't really matter, because women usually, I'm not going to say all women, but usually the women that are like,
get ready, there's something sexist going to come out right now.
Sherry Moon Zombie-ish, that are really, really hot.
Yeah.
Not all the time. The worst thing is those bitches on Facebook that, like, are hot, but they think that their opinion matters, too.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Nobody cares. Just take photos and shut the fuck up. Nobody wants your opinion about Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars is the shittiest show that's ever existed, I think.
That's saying a lot, too. There's been a lot of shit.
We're like they get up at 4 a.m. or something and have these fucking shows where they unveil who the fucking people are on that. And who gives a shit? I've never watched one episode of that stupid shit.
What was the thing we were talking about, though, that we got into that?
I don't even remember now. Round table.
Oh, yeah. That is right. So, yeah, submit your entries to be on the round table, and we'll pick whoever's most dirty. Maybe Horror Queen will do it.
You're gonna be a whore queen. You know, we actually have another female from the UK.
Nadia.
The Living Dead girl.
Yeah.
And that'd be awesome. I'd love that because I like the British accent, so I could talk back to her.
Wouldn't it be funny if she sounded like that, though, exactly like that?
Hey! Hello!
Hey, y'all.
Well, I just got finished with a smoke and a cracker.
I was doing more studies and got done over here.
So, any of you people, though, any of you people have the shot? Because I've heard a lot of people talk to us at conventions and stuff, and they want their shot to be on Dead Pit Radio. We don't know who you fuckers are. We don't know if you'd be entertaining or if you'd be, you know, dry. We don't know.
Yeah.
See, you're dry, but we want to make you moist. You're a dead pit.
That's our goal. That's to moisten you up.
So, anyway.
There's that.
There's that. There's Skurfest coming up.
We're all going to be at Skurfest
on Saturday.
On Saturday. Yeah. You're going to be there on Friday. Nobody's going to be there on Sunday. Don't come on Sunday. Expect to see us. We're not going to be there.
Yeah.
And really, there's no other reason to come except us. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're the whole show. We're the guests of honor this year again, which is nice.
Yeah, we're on the poster.
It's kind of getting sad, though. It's been, what, 4 years in a row now we've been the guests of honor?
We're still the guests of honor every year.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal anymore.
You can
really
come by and get her autograph, and there's the photo op that we're going to have available.
But in all seriousness, though, like Leah Thompson's going to be there.
Ooh. Ooh.
Lynn Shay's going to be there.
Yeah.
Actually, the one I'm most excited about, which is fucking weird, is Vernon Wells is going to be there, the guy from Commando and the Road Warrior. Michael Biehn's going to be there. Lance Henriksen's going to be there. All kinds of folks.
Yeah. Lance Henderson's going to sell his pottery there.
God, I hope so. That'd be so killer.
Yeah, it's always a fun time. And I actually always look forward to the vendors at Scarefest, too, because, like, there's always different vendors there. You don't see at other shows. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. And the setup of that show is the best setup of any show, period.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, a lot of these shows, you're sweating your balls off because it's so cramped up and there's just not room to breathe.
No.
And the Scarefest is a lot more, you know, spread out and laid back. It's a huge, it's in a huge venue, too. So, yeah. Skurfest, 23rd through the 25th, Lexington Convention Center. Check it out in Lexington, Kentucky.
So, that being said, I don't think there's anything else. We'll move on to the review portion of the show.
Let's go and talk about the newest film from Hammer Studios. Wakewood, Uncle Bill, which came out on Blu-ray disc and DVD from Dark Sky Films recently. So we're going to talk about that.
Okay. The opening of this movie is one of the most, I guess, hardcore openings I've seen in a while, and that is the, and there's going to be some spoilers in this, but, I mean, once you start watching the movie, you kind of have to spoil some of it to be able to even talk about what's going on in this movie.
Right.
And that is that a 9-year-old kid gets mauled to death by a fucking dog.
Pretty damn violently, too.
Yeah, and that's the opening.
Yep.
That's like the very beginning of the movie. So, it's this couple, and it's their child, and they decide after the death, I guess, that they need to move to get away from the area where they're at. So, they move into a place, which is the town of Wakewood, which is where the gets the name and all that stuff. And the town is pretty accepting of them, actually, a little bit too accepting in a way. And as the story moves along, you begin to find out that there's some weird kind of witchy undertones.
Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eye. Yeah. So, basically, Wakewood, she notices some strange things in Wakewood that are happening with there's one particular girl that comes into her work that acts bizarre and says, oh, this looks different now, and just acts weird, you know. And she cut like one evening when they're, she's frustrated. She's like, I want to leave this place. I don't like this place. Their vehicle gets broke down. They can't leave. So they go for help, and she comes across this weird, in this barn, in this farmhouse, this seance type thing, you know, much like a cult, something a cult would do.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get the whole gist of it, but she's pretty scared, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's a whole little back story in this movie where one of the farmers that are in this town gets crushed to death by, I guess it's, is it a bull or a cow or what the hell is it exactly? I'm not sure.
I think it's a bull.
And then with him being dead, the town is basically tells the couple, okay, we can bring your child back to life, but only if it's been less than a year since she's died.
The incident, yeah.
Yeah, and it can only be for like 3 days. She'll only live for like 3 days after she's been brought back. And they're like, oh, yeah, but, there's a twist to all this. But basically, there's a lot of weird cow shit in this movie, too. Like, it's just stuff randomly has to do with cows.
Yeah.
Like the...
Big fan of cattle.
Yeah, the child is rebirthed through a cattle.
Yeah. Which he gets really, all ooey and gooey inside the cow.
Which is a really horrible scene in the movie, too. But, of course, as these movies generally go, everything's not as it seems with the kid.
That's right. And the kid, like, everything starts going fine. And then, you know, they notice something's off with the little girl. And it does, like, it turns into, like, kind of an evil kid movie at that point. And so you have a little bit of Pet Sematary going on. You have a little bit of, like, Omen going on. And it's, you know, it's an interesting little movie, and it's one that I didn't really hear anything about until it came out and people started talking about it.
This movie actually does, though, manage to kind of capture the weird kind of feel of some of those Hammer movies, too, though. Like, It's a very British.
It is, but at least it's a good British.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of those that like tries to throw in their stupid comedy shit.
Yeah, it's more of like an atmospheric British movie. Like think of The Wicker Man or something like that mixed in with stuff like Pet Sematary. And
it's got good visuals.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand the ending that well. Like there's a whole thing about the ending where you're not really sure, like I don't want to give it away, but the status of the kid, I guess you could say. But other than that, though, I thought it was really good.
Basically, the ending kind of leaves room for a sequel if they ever wanted to do one, I guess.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, all these movies do, really. But it's something completely different than what you're used to seeing, especially right now. And it was an attempt to make an original film. It's like, it's a cross between a whole shit ton of different movies, like all jammed into one, like influences like The Wicker Man and Pet Sematary and even the Manitou, I never
remember. Yeah.
Just weird kind of movies about rebirth and things like that, and then that's the theme.
It's got a lot of decent gore in it, too.
It does, and it's very violent.
Yeah.
It's like especially towards kids and shit, like dogs, animals.
It's a big no-no in American cinema, for sure.
It certainly does push a lot of boundaries, I'll say that. And
yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was surprised with it, how much I enjoyed it, and especially being that it was 100% British, because that's usually not my bag, but I would highly recommend it. The Blu-ray itself, I don't know about the Blu-ray. I mean, it looked good enough, but, like, I guess just where it was a lower-budget production or whatever that, it didn't shine like a lot of newer movies would on high def.
As far as anything on the actual Blu-ray, though, there's only deleted scenes and the trailer, and that's it. And, really, I don't know what more you expected from a release like this, but, like I said, Dark Sky put it out, and you should probably go see it.
Go see it. The time is now.
Go, go, go.
Wakewood from Dark Sky Films and Hammer Productions. So the next one we got is a horse of an entirely different color, Uncle Bill.
Lord.
It's one of the Miramax productions from released from Echo Bridge Home Entertainment, which for a while they were releasing a ton of stuff, and I don't know if they've just stopped for a while.
I was looking. I got one of their newsletters here recently where they send, like, the press release.
Now they have the other Hellraiser ones that are out.
I don't think they're out on Blu-ray, though, are they?
Yeah. Like, I know at least that Hellworld one's out or something.
The one that I was looking at was the recent newsletter that they sent me only had DVD release. They didn't have any Blu-ray releases in there. And it was all, like, packs of all the stuff they'd already released. Like, it was all the Halloween films that they have the rights to together, all the Hellraiser.
You didn't get any of the other Hellraiser ones, though, did you? I think I just got at least one or two more. Maybe they're not out yet.
I just got Bloodlines and Inferno.
But
Bloodline and Inferno.
This one is probably the last good, or halfway good. I don't even know how good it is. Really.
Have you ever seen Two? Children of the Corn 2? No, I didn't.
It just came out on DVD.
Yeah, it came out again, I know.
This is Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, which, it's just one of those bizarre mysteries in movies. Like, the first Children of the Corn wasn't even that big of a success when it came out. But there are, like, 9 different Children of the Corn movies now, I think, or maybe 10.
There must be something about that franchise that must do well on direct-to-video or something.
Because you had the remake came out, 2 years ago or something, and nobody gave... I mean, you didn't hear anything about that. That was just, that was a big piece of shit, too. Yeah, oh, my God.
That was fucking one of the worst movies. It still cracks me up to this day to know that Sleepy had something to do with that, too.
The funny thing, though, if you are involved in horror websites and anything promoting horror, when there's new Children of the Corn out, you don't have one goddamn problem at all getting them. Because I remember...
I'd love for you to take that shit. Like,
yeah, we did. I think we did a contest for the Children of the Corn remake. We gave some of them away. Sorry, folks. And also the Children of the Corn 3, we gave those away too. Children of the Corn 3 is actually not that bad of a movie, though. We'll get into that. The movie itself plays off of the town of Gatlin, where the original one took place. And these two kids who, Eli and Joshua, I think are their names.
Eli and Jebediah.
They are like the last remaining kids from the Gatlin gang of
the Gatlin brothers.
The Gatlin, yeah, they're the Gatlin brothers. And they're adopted by this couple in big city of like Chicago, I think.
Yeah,
it's in Chicago. And the little brother is Eli. He's like the leader. And he's featured on the cover. And they try to make him exactly like John Franklin's character. He has the little hat that he wears and stuff. And it's weird because, like, a lot of the movie is kind of like Children of the Corn. Two Children of the Corn come into, like, an episode of Martin or something.
They should put that on the cover.
It really is, though, because, like, when they go to school, like,
Martin.
Okay. Lawrence. They go to school, and the older brother kind of fits in and starts playing basketball with the kids, with his homeboys, if you will. And, the younger brother just doesn't fit in and is mad at the older brother for ignoring him and stuff like that. But the younger brother is like, he's the leader of the, all of the chaos, I guess, starts with him. And then the adoptive mother is the first one to notice that there's something wrong. And actually, another thing I always thought was funny about this movie, too, is that, he has these magical little corn, like, pieces of corn that he throws on stuff to make shit happen. Like, he throws these little pieces of corn in the dirt of this, old building or something, and, like, magically, like, corn stalks and shit start growing up. Like...
That is one of the funniest parts of the movie, too. But I have several questions about this movie, though. Okay, in the first film, wasn't the whole fucking point of that movie to be that they wanted away from adults, like that they had gone crazy and like they were trying to? How do they fucking? Why do they want to get adopted? Like how did that process go about where these fucking kids?
Yeah, because
like did a social worker come out there? Listen.
It's a long lie.
Yeah, because Eli basically kills his real father in the beginning. I guess we can give that away.
Right.
So why would they, it doesn't make any sense.
And they're supposed to be, that's the whole thing, is that they're supposed to hate adults, and then they let themselves be adopted out. They're like,
yeah.
Okay, whatever. But if you skip past that, then the other thing with this movie is, I don't recall in the original Children of the Corn them having any ability to hypnotize people, but yet this little son of a bitch, like, has this magical power to hypnotize, like, all of his schoolmates. Like,
yeah.
Buddies in these films make him do all kinds
of
shit.
He's an evil son of a bitch.
He's like, oh. Don't kill your ass.
They've evolved since the first movie, the Children of the Corn have.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those movies where it's like Leprechaun in Space, and that the premise of it's so fucking hilarious that you kind of just kind of can go with it, and it can be a little bit fun. Actually, the kid is not a bad actor, though. I don't know if you noticed that. The little kid, like one that plays the John Franklin-ish kind of role, is not that bad. Like,
I don't think it's that bad of a movie. I mean, it's something fun to watch. Like, to me, of all the Children of the Corn sequels and stuff that I've seen, this is the last one that's kind of watchable. Like, after this point, I think the next one is the one with Karen Black in it and Sarah Pauly. I think it's Sarah Pauly. Or no, maybe it's not Sarah Pauly. It's fucking the bitch from The Ring. What was her name? Naomi Watts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She was in one of those
movies? Yeah, she was in the fourth
I didn't
one.
Know that.
We actually have that on Blu-ray, too, I think.
What is the fourth one? The Gathering?
I can't remember. I know the fifth one's like Fields of Terror.
That's
then the sixth one's Isaac's Return.
We'll kill you.
I can't remember if... maybe there's not a Blu-ray of the fourth one. Maybe they skipped the fourth one and they have five and... It's 5 and 6, ain't it, that you got on Blu-ray?
I think so, yeah.
And then there's a 7th one that I have that I've never watched called Revelations.
Mother Earth.
Yeah.
I honestly have never seen any of these up to this point except for the first one. So, I have no idea.
Well, you need to get your corn on.
Get your corn.
But I look, these movies, well, at least this one's at least some hokey enjoyment, you know, if you can get it cheap enough, like, sure, eventually these will be $5 in Walmart's little bin they've got going now. I don't see, like, around Halloween, I'm sure they'll have stuff like that on sale for, like, $5.
Yeah, they definitely will. What did you think about the picture quality?
I thought it was decent enough. I mean, for a low-budget release, you could definitely tell it was in HD.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad either, really. And that may have something to do with, this is the only one of these Miramax Blu-rays that I have that's a single disc version. All the rest of them I got are like dual. There's two movies on one Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has something to do with it.
That's always shitty to do. At least if you're going to do it, make it like a flipper disc where it's still like...
Why the fuck do they do that?
I don't know. It would seem to me they'd make more money if they released them by themselves and just charged regular price for... But who knows?
But no, why don't we do that?
Well, the weird thing is they did release some of those Halloween movies by themselves.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know what their reasoning is.
I know they released H2O because I saw it like
they released Halloween 6 by itself too.
I don't get that either, but whatever. I know if you're interested in these movies, like buying a whole ton of them really dirt cheap, I know now they've got... I don't know about the Blu-ray releases, but I know they got the DVD releases of, like, all of these movies they have the rights to in one pack.
$5, ain't it?
Yeah, it's, like, it's ridiculously cheap.
Yeah. I mean, they're low budget, and what the fuck? I mean, how fucking remastered do you really want to see fucking Children of the Corn 3 anyway?
I want it to be pristine. I want the Criterion collection.
Don May Jr. to work on it?
Yeah, fuck, 2 years. I don't want him to do anything else for 2 years to work on that.
Yeah, but Children of the Corn 3 Urban Harvest is out. You can check it out if you want. Move over, Jason and Freddy, because Eli's coming for you.
Get your corn!
He's going to throw his little black corn seeds at you and destroy you violently. So there are no special features on this at all.
They're going to get that little kid in to talk
this
about
this is another one. I said this movie came out in 94, so that's a good one to review.
Fucking A. That's it.
So that's it, folks. That's it for the show. And remember, next week, by next week, we'll need to know at least by what? Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
Who? Because we'll be doing the show on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Who is going to be in the round table?
Who's got the nuts?
Yeah.
Step it up.
And we'll probably, just for safety's sake, pick a total of three people in case one of them ends up fucking, you can never, I don't trust people anyway.
Nah, I hate people.
Yeah.
Shit on.
People be like nervous and want to answer the fucking phone or something. They know they, like, I'll be too scared. So it's your chance to be on the Horror Roundtable next week. So send us, post it on our Facebook page, whatever. Email us if you're interested, and we will pick three of you fuckers. There'll be two and one backup, and we'll let you know if you're the backup. And if you are, hey, maybe you'll look out, one of these some bitches will shit your pants.
You're the alternate juror.
Yeah.
In the Horror Roundtable. So enjoy that, and get around to giving us a message or a call or something.
We're
like
going
to
be talking horror.
God almighty, it's hard to say what we'll talk about.
Yeah. So, we will see then. And if y'all don't like it, fuck you. So, until next time.
Hell.
I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I am Uncle Bill. Y'all listen to the Dead Pit.